If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, open it up to John chapter 10 in the New Testament, John chapter 10. You can also grab your listening guide that's inside your worship folder if you want to take some notes there or write some things in along the way. You know, a lot of the Bible took place in an agrarian society, and so a lot of the illustrations and metaphors that are used come from kind of that world. And because of that, there might be some at times that we don't connect with quite as easily or as quickly because it's just not as much a part of our day-to-day life. In fact, the passage we're going to look at today, Jesus uses the imagery of a shepherd and sheep. And I don't know about you, but that is not very much a part of my day-to-day life. I don't know any shepherds. I don't think I've ever met a shepherd in my life, to be honest with you. And I know for a fact, I don't like sheep. I don't like being around them. I'm very uncomfortable around any farm animal, to be honest with you. In fact, our family recently had a chance to go to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum up in Kentucky, and we had a great time there. Both of those places have kind of a small zoo. It's small, but very nice. You can see some animals, and we were walking through one of those, and there's this one area where you could go in and be around some of the animals. There were some goats in there, and I think some sheep, and one of my kids, just, I didn't hesitate, took off, ran in there as happy as he could be, and I thought, well, you got to be a responsible parent, you know, and so I walked in there with them, and but I was very, very uncomfortable being anywhere near some of those animals. And in fact, the rest of my family was just on the other side of the fence, and they saw how uncomfortable I was. You know, in my defense, at least I went in there. They were on the other side of the fence just noticing how uncomfortable I was. And my wife, being the loving wife that she is, thought, I got to get a picture of that. And so I want to show you this picture of me with these animals. And you can see my son there. He's happy as can be. And he made best friend. He was best friends with that goat. And it's not even that dirty, to be honest with you, right? And it's not like there's animals everywhere, but it was just too close for me. I was pretty uncomfortable. And what really got him, what they thought was funny, was my facial expressions. You can zoom in here and see my face. And just so you know, that's not like a pensive face. I'm not like in deep theological thought there. That's my disgusted face. That is, there are animals nearby and they look dirty and I'm sure they smell bad. I'm not sure if either of those are true, but that's certainly how I thought, what I thought. And I thought, you know, I've seen some stuff on the ground and I don't want to step in anything. I got all my good shoes. You know, I don't want to mess those up. And that's just being responsible. And so I'm just grossed out by this whole thing, you know, there for the sake of my kids, but that's how I feel about farm animals. So full transparency today. As we look at a passage, it's all about sheep and shepherds. Not very much part of my world. Not at all comfortable in a setting like that. Maybe you are. And if so, that's great. I'm just saying that's not me. But whether that's kind of part of your world or not, whether you know a lot about sheep and shepherds and that kind of thing or not, there's really important truths to be learned here that Jesus is teaching us through this imagery of sheep and a shepherd. And so let's take a look at what he says in John 10, verse 1. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. Now, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers." And this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And unlike me, it wasn't because they weren't familiar with kind of sheep and shepherds. They just missed the spiritual point of what he was teaching them. And that's what I want us to focus on and to learn today. And here's the first thing. Write this in. We see here that Jesus is our shepherd. Back then, a village would have had sort of communal area where they kept sheep at night. And during the day, individual shepherds would take their individual flocks wherever they wanted to, but at night, they would bring them back to this communal area, and so all the sheep would be in there together. And they would hire a gatekeeper who would stay there and guard that area and kind of protect the sheep. And if somebody tried to get in who wasn't an actual shepherd, gatekeeper wouldn't let them in. But if they really wanted access to those sheep, obviously it wouldn't be for good purposes, but if they wanted access, they would have to go in some other way, like climbing over the wall, I mean, just breaking in. And here, those people represent some of the kind of religious leaders, not all religious leaders, of course, but some. that don't care about the sheep. They don't actually care about people. They're just focused on things like their own power and position, their own policies or rules that they make up. And we see people like that in the Gospels. We see that throughout the New Testament. You know, not all of the leaders were like that, but some were. There's still some leaders like that today. Jesus is warning us about them. And regardless of their title or position, they're not actual shepherds. But Jesus, on the other hand, is. He is a true shepherd. In fact, he's the good shepherd. And so he comes in through the door, through the gate. He can because he's an actual shepherd. And here's sort of the image, the scene that it's painting for us here. So Jesus comes into this communal sheepfold that we call humanity. And he begins to call all those who are his. And he calls us by name. And the fact that he calls you by name is an indication of how well he knows you. It's an indication that he knows everything about you, the details of your life, that he knows your failures, he knows your hurts, he knows your past, he knows the choices you've made, he knows your thoughts, he knows your motivations, he knows things about you that nobody else knows. He knows you and he loves you and he calls you by name because you are his. And when he calls us, it says, we recognize his voice, the voice of the shepherd, and we follow him. Practically, that means that we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hear the good news that he has died for us in our place and paid the price for our sins, and that he's come back to life and that he really is Lord. And by the grace of God and a work of the Spirit in our lives, we see the truth of that and we believe that. And so we follow him. And we're not led astray by other voices. There are lots of those out there. We're not led astray by other voices because we recognize and we're locked in on the voice of our shepherd. And we follow him. And as he leads us out, then what is it that he leads us to? We'll look at verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd. Who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. How well do we know each other? Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold." That means other people around the world from other people groups. He says, "I must bring them also, and they'll listen to my voice. There'll be one flock with one shepherd." Would you write this in? What does he lead us to? The good shepherd leads us to abundant life. He calls us out and leads us to abundant life. Now, at first here, Jesus changes the metaphor. Instead of being the shepherd, now he's the gate. And you know, in some writing classes, they'll tell you, don't mix metaphors. You don't do that. But Jesus did, so I don't know if you ever do. There's some pretty good precedent there. Jesus, the master teacher, switches up the metaphor right here, sticks with the sheep shepherd kind of scene, but now all of a sudden he's the gate. And the point of that is that salvation is found in him and him alone. It's through him we enter into pastures and find rest and provision. We find salvation in Christ alone. Well, then in verse 10, he switches back to him being the shepherd. And when he does, he contrasts himself with the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's talking there about Satan, our enemy. And you know, we have an enemy who is real, and he hates you. I mean, he hates you so much. It says here he wants to destroy you. That's his goal for you. That's his aim for your life, to steal, kill, and destroy. And fundamentally, the way he would do that is by leading you away from Jesus. And that can look like a lot of different things. I mean, it can look like him It's sort of leading you to get locked in on material things, temporary things of this world that don't matter, and you live your life for that, and you never have enough and never content. Or maybe you get to a point you do have enough. You got everything you wanted, and he'd be fine with that. He'd be perfectly fine with you having all these things as long as they're a distraction from Jesus. You're going to get what all the world says is important, and you're still not going to have joy or true life. And maybe it looks like him coming after your relationships. Like, he wants to wreck your relationships. He does not want your marriage or your family to flourish. He wants to wreck those relationships. He wants to wreck your relationships at work and in the church and among your friends. He would love it if you go through life sort of just feeling worried and anxious and stressed and empty. He would love it if you spend your life on things that don't really matter, and then you die and suffer in hell forever. That's what he wants for you. And it'd be helpful to keep that in mind every time you're tempted to sin. So remember, you have an enemy who hates you, and that's what he would lead you to. Jesus warns us about that. He also warns us about the hired hands. There'd be people who, they were in place to take care of the sheep, but they didn't actually care enough about the sheep. And so when there was danger, I mean, they just flee. You know, that would be like some of those leaders that are in place that don't actually love people. They just see some benefit for themselves. Maybe they like the position, they like the authority, maybe they like the money or whatever. But when there's a cost involved, when it gets difficult, when there's any sort of sacrifice involved, I mean, they're out and you're on your own. And so get how vulnerable these sheep are then. There's this enemy who wants to kill them, destroy them. There's people who are saying they're there to help, but they're not. They're going to leave you on your own. You can see how vulnerable the sheep are and why they need a shepherd who actually cares about them. We have an enemy who hates us. There are people who say they're there to help us, and they're not. You can see why we need a good shepherd who loves us. And in contrast to them, others who want to destroy us, Jesus, the good shepherd, offers us life. Not just any life, he says abundant life. He wants you to have life and have it abundantly. That means that it's not just about sort of getting through life. There's more to it than just surviving it. I get there are days like that. You know, I get that, where if you just survive it, that's a win. You know, we have those days. But big picture, there's more to life than just sort of getting by, getting through it. You can have life and have it abundantly, he says. And that would be a life that's filled with blessing and joy and meaning and purpose and satisfaction, those things that we're all looking for in life. He's saying you can actually have it. He will lead you to it. It's found in him. And maybe you've been looking for those kind of things for a long time in life and you haven't found it. And for you, it is just where you're getting through life. I mean, you're doing it, but there's not a lot of meaning to it. There's not a lot of joy or purpose in it. There's not a lot of hope in it. And you're wondering, is there more? I mean, surely there's more to life than this. And here's the answer. Yes, there is more than that. You can have abundant life. It's in Christ. He leads us to it. And I love, though, that the sheep would not have had all that figured out. It wasn't like the sheep were in the sheep pen and talking to each other and going, hey, I know the best place to get food. From what I understand, sheep are not the smartest of animals. And they probably were not talking to each other, man, we've got this figured out. And hey, shepherd, if you'll follow us, man, we're good. The sheep didn't have it figured out. The shepherd did. And by following the shepherd, they benefited from his leadership. He was leading them to what was best. But when it comes to the abundant life, we don't have it all figured out. In fact, when we do things our own way, live life our way, we make a mess of it. We don't have it figured out, but Jesus does. And as we trust him enough to follow him, then we benefit from his leadership. He's leading us to the abundant life. Practically, that means we obey him. We live life the way he says to live it. We do what he tells us to do in every area of life. Look, if you want abundant life at work, then obey Jesus's teachings and apply biblical principles in that area of life. Have a biblical work ethic. Have a biblical view of work. Handle relationships in that setting in a biblical way. It's going to lead to abundant life in that setting. You want abundant life in your family, then obey Jesus' teaching and apply biblical principles in that area. You want abundant life in your finances? Obey Jesus' teaching. Apply biblical principles in that area. He is leading you to abundant life. And if you'll trust him enough to follow him, then you're going to enjoy the blessing of that. But that's what he wants for you. So keep that in mind as you're deciding how you're going to live life. Are you going to listen to the lies of the enemy who wants to destroy you? Or are you going to listen to the voice of the shepherd who loves you and is leading you to abundant life? And look at verse 17. It says, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father." Would you write this in? "That the good shepherd lays down his very life for his sheep." And he's already made it clear before this that he's going to lay down his life for the sheep. And by that, he means he's going to die for us, which he has by now. He died in our place, in the place of sinners like us. That's what he's talking about when he says he'll lay down his life for the sheep. I mean, he meant it. He died for us. Here he makes it clear that when that happened, no one was taking his life from him. And it's, I mean, helpful for us that he clarified that, because at this point, there were people out to get him. There was a plot to kill him by this point. And it moved forward and eventually succeeded. And some of that for some people was motivated by jealousy. For some, it was political expediency. They were out to kill him and they did that. But he makes it clear on the front end that when that happened, it wasn't because they overpowered him. It wasn't because he couldn't stop it. Yeah, they wanted him dead. But the reason it actually happened, he says, is because he laid down his life. He had the authority to stop that. In fact, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 26. He says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" He's saying he could have stopped it anytime he wanted to. He was in charge. He's got ultimate authority. The reason it all moved forward and he died was because he was willingly laying down his life. And why would he do it? Because he was fulfilling the will of the Father and because he loves us. Because he loved the sheep, he willingly laid down his life. Friends, when he says he's a good shepherd, he wasn't kidding. Such a good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. And that gives us reason to love him and to trust him and to follow him and to worship him now and literally for eternity. He also here is a really good example for us when it comes to leadership and authority. Here's the one with all authority in heaven and on earth, ultimate authority. And what did he choose to do with his authority? He used it to lay down his life for other people. And there's a lot of skepticism in our culture about leadership and authority. I think there's sort of this assumption that authority equals oppression. If you're an authority, you must be an oppressor. And leadership, it's just assumed, is self-serving. I mean, leaders are just looking out for themselves. And unfortunately, too often that's been true. And there are reasons why those assumptions are there. Too often that is the case, that leadership and authority are used in that way. And there are people that pursue leadership just for the perks, for what's in it for them. But what do we see in Jesus here in his example? He just flips that on his head. I mean, Jesus had all the perks. He was literally in heaven enjoying the glory that was rightfully his. And what did he do? He left that to come to earth, to live a very humble life, to serve us ultimately by dying for us. That's the model of leadership we see in Jesus. And so write this in. Then the kingdom of God, leadership is sacrificial, not self-serving. We could put it this way. So we kind of apply that to us and any role of leadership God's given you. Write this in, that your leadership then should be leveraged for the good of others. Well, what that means then is that any leadership you have, whether it's formal or informal, positional or not, you should be asking this question of how can I use my authority? How can I use this position? How can I use this influence for the good of others? If you see your leadership, not in a self-serving way, but you see your leadership as a gift from God that's been entrusted to you to be stewarded for the good of others, where other people around you are blessed because you have that leadership that you have. Other people around you benefit from it, from your leadership, from your influence. I mean, that's not how the world operates. That's why the world thinks of leadership in a very, very differently. But that's how God's people operate. That's how we lead. That's how we use authority. Why? Because we're followers of Jesus, and that's how he did it. And with it being Mother's Day, and think about the implications of that for our parenting. As parents, a lot of your life is spent laying down your life for somebody else, isn't it? I'm thinking about all the sacrifices that you make as a parent. I mean, you sacrifice so much of your time. You sacrifice a lot of your own desires. You don't just do whatever you want all the time. There are other lives involved. You think about them. You sacrifice a lot of your money. You spend a lot on them. You sacrifice a lot of sleep. So much sleep. We just live tired as parents, right? I mean, that's what we do. I remember we brought our first one home. I think it was a few days after we brought him home. I have no idea why. I just remember waking up on the floor of the nursery. I have no idea why I was in there. I just remember waking up and thinking, I can't do this for 18 more years. Thankfully, I got eventually got some sleep, and I was okay. It's not quite like that, but that did sort of set a tone. I'm like, man, this is hard work, and you're sacrificing a lot and giving a lot of yourself. Look, if you have the mindset of the world, that everybody else is there to serve you and make your life easier and make your life more comfortable, then you're going to be really frustrated in this role of a parent. But if you have a biblical view of that, if you recognize that being a parent means God has given you a position of leadership in the life of your child, God has given you authority over that child to be stewarded well for their benefit. And biblically, I mean, big picture, that would mean that you're parenting in such a way that it helps them know and love and follow and treasure and worship Jesus so that they also can experience that abundant life that he promises. And when you see that's the purpose of you being a parent, that's the purpose of your leadership and your authority, then that transforms the way that you think about those sacrifices. Then those sacrifices are worth it, and you're able to lay down your life with joy. I mean, that's where the joy comes from and the freedom comes from, is recognizing that it's not about you, that you are serving others for the sake of Christ right there in the home. It's a biblical view of leadership and authority. And applies well beyond the home. That's every area of life, anywhere that you lead. And that should transform how you think about leadership in the workplace and how you relate to people that work for you or your customers or clients. If you recognize you're in this position for the good of others. As you think about the team that you coach or the class that you teach or the group that you lead at church, anywhere that you have influence and leadership and authority, are those people being blessed because you're in that role? Are they benefiting from your leadership and authority? Is it a blessing to them? That's a biblical view. We get that from Jesus. Look, I know sometimes that's difficult. It's one thing to see it in Jesus and to see it here and go, yeah, and that's true. I get that, and that's great. And even if you genuinely want to do that, there's going to be days that's hard. I mean, for a lot of reasons. To really live and to lead that way can be tough. And on those days when it's tough, remember Jesus. Remember the one who left glory to come serve us. Remember the one who left the perks to come die for us. Remember the shepherd who willingly lays down his life for sheep. And follow that example. And with that in mind, we see Jesus saying here about himself as our shepherd. I want to end by reading a psalm, probably a pretty familiar psalm to a lot of you, maybe not to everybody, but I want us to hear it in light of what we've just seen of Jesus as our good shepherd. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Aren't you thankful for a good shepherd? Let me pray for us. Jesus, we are thankful that you are that kind of shepherd, that you have laid down your life for us, and that you lead us to life, an abundant life. And pray that you'd remind us of that, so that we would joyfully, eagerly trust you and obey you and follow you and enjoy the blessings that come with that. We thank you for what you have done for us, and that we know and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of you. So we give you thanks, we give you praise today. We pray that in your name. Amen.